all comfort and the Father of all mercies. Thank you, Lord, that you are the source of peace that flows like a river. Thank you for being an ever-present friend and help in time of trouble. For these families and any others that may be struggling here this morning, somebody maybe that we're not aware of what they're going through, that you just bless them, touch them with your hand of healing where it's needed, and grace and peace and joy as only can come from the throne room of heaven. And we thank you for today being an awesome God. We thank you for ministering to these families. Most of all, we thank you for the precious promise of a place called heaven for the redeemed. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, I hope you and your family had a wonderful Christmas. We enjoyed our family being with us and us with them, most of our family. And I hope it was a wonderful time. And maybe by now you've got all your Christmas decorations put up and things are back to normal. At least as normal as they can get, I guess. And I hope your family had a wonderful holiday season. Let me ask you another question. Did you double check under the tree? Did you double check in the branches just to be sure that you got all the gifts that were there? The reason I ask that is that our sermon series on unwrapping your spiritual gifts is being continued this morning. And I invite you to look with me to Romans chapter 12 as we look at a subject that we don't hear a great deal of preaching about, ministry of the Holy Spirit and granting gifts to His children and unwrapping your spiritual gifts. Two of my favorite verses are verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. And then there's an application of those verses in verses 3 through 8. And verses 3 through 8 are what I'd like for us to focus on this morning. As we unwrap our spiritual gift. Today we're looking at the spiritual gift of service / ministry / hospitality. All three of those terms can be terms used for the same spiritual gift. And you'll see about what we're talking about in just a moment. Unwrapping your spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Well, they're God's gift to every child of God. In fact, if you didn't realize this, you are uniquely and heavenly blessed by God with a spiritual gift. Maybe more than one, but at least one that every child of God has. And God wants you to use that gift, and you'll find the greatest fulfillment in life is found as we not only understand our spiritual gift, but employ it and apply it to our lives and live in the light of the glorious blessing of the Lord as the Holy Spirit dwells within us and produces fruit for His glory. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office or the same function or the same role, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and he begins to list some of these spiritual gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy or declare God's word faithfully, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth or encourages on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. As we look at these series of messages on unwrapping our spiritual gifts, we already are aware that there are generally recognized, there are about three different divisions of spiritual gifts. There are the motivational gifts, and found in Romans chapter 12, we just looked at some of those. And we're going to look at some of them in just a moment. In detail, what we call the motivational spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. And then there are the ministry gifts in Ephesians 4. And what we call the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, let me be sure that we understand those divisions are not set in stone. Those are just one or maybe more than one commentator's view of how the spiritual gifts are divided up, and there may be an overlapping, and you may see in your life some elements that pertain to more than one spiritual gift. But for just a moment, I want to talk about the spiritual gift of service, and I really believe with all of my heart God is always infinitely wise. But I'm so glad that God gave the spiritual gift of service or ministry or hospitality, because we got a lot of folks at Calvary Baptist Church who I believe have that spiritual gift. Now, there are some spiritual gifts that they're all given by God. They're all wonderful. They're all an amazing thing. But I read one commentator who said, you don't want too many prophets in your church. Now, if you're a prophet, you may understand that. Or if you're married to one, you may understand that. But the truth is, it's a wonderful spiritual gift. And I want us to look at the gift of service and try to understand maybe how God uses that spiritual gift in a wonderful, wonderful way. In your outline, in your study guide, there's a description of the spiritual gift called service or hospitality or ministry. This spiritual gift loves to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs with an ability to see and determine needs in the lives of others and acting to meet those needs. I suspect if you're like me, as we go through these spiritual gifts and talk about them, names will come to your mind and you'll think, that's him. Take a message, I'll get to him after a while. I love that ringtone, Bob. Do, 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 do. But sometimes when they go through these spiritual gifts, what will happen is you'll think, now I know somebody's got that spiritual gift, and I think that's what will happen this morning and through the coming weeks as we look at it together. As we talk about somebody having an ability to see and determine needs in the lives of others. We've got some of the most caring people at Calvary and ministry minded and willing to go the second and third mile to minister to people, to love people, and never expected recognition for it or recognition because of it, because that's their spiritual gift. It ministers to them to minister to others. The word diakoneo is the word we used also, and we use the word for deacon, which is a servant. It means literally, diakoneo means a stirrer up of dust. And it's a picture of somebody who travels down a dirt road, anxious to minister to someone's needs and stirring up dust along the way. Your study guide says that a stirrer up of dust is one rushing to meet the needs of someone else. And so, if that is in your resume, that's one of the things that fulfills you and fulfills your walk with the Lord. You want to help meet needs and touch people's lives. You may have the spiritual gift of service. I find it interesting to see how in the New Testament this spiritual gift was manifested. First of all, it was manifested prominently in the life of Jesus. Remember Jesus saying to his disciples, I'm come that I might be a servant. And one of the times he was washing the feet of the disciples. And I remember years ago when we were at Bartlett, I remember having a time that our chairman of deacons planned a foot washing service for the deacons meeting. We had 70 active deacons. And around that room that morning, there were several vessels and basins. And it was a moving and memorable service where the deacons washed one another's feet. But I remember feeling so unworthy and so a little bit uncomfortable because I had never done that before. Then I realized that's what Jesus was talking about. Wash ye one another's feet and thus fulfill the law of God. And so as somebody with a spiritual gift of service or hospitality or ministry would be acting like Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 22, I've come among you as your servant. You see, the way you'll get most blessed in your church is not by asking, Lord, how can this church bless me? Nothing wrong with that. But how can I be a blessing to the people in this church? How can I minister to? How can I serve? How can I reach out to others around me? And a person with a spiritual gift of service wants to be a blessing to others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was encouraging young Timothy, and in young Timothy's life, Paul on one occasion said, "Come before winter, I need you." It must have been weather kind of like we're having now, and Paul needed the comfort of a fellow encourager. And God brought Timothy, young Timothy, into Paul's life to encourage him. Can you think of somebody God has brought into your life, a friend, a relative, a loved one, a neighbor, that when they're around you, they bless you and they encourage you and they minister to you and then they bless your day and minister to every need that you have? Timothy was like that for Paul. I like the illustration in Dr. Luke's gospel of Martha. I've known a lot of Marthas in my day, and she's a great servant of the Lord. I mean, she gets there and she doesn't mind cooking for a whole bunch of folks. She doesn't mind cleaning the house. She doesn't mind cleaning up afterwards. She wants to get things done. And she's a little bit taken back with her sister Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus, just adoring Jesus and spending time with Jesus. And Martha said, "Lord, tell her to get up." I'm not sure we have all that dialogue recorded for us in the gospel. But she said, "Tell her to get up. There's a lot to be done here, and I need her to help me." You see, it's obvious that Martha had the spiritual gift of service. And she wanted things to be done well. She wanted things to be done right. She wanted things to be done to the glory of God. And she wanted to be a part of seeing that it was done well and done right. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, there was Stephanus. Stephanus was of the house of Stephanus. And interestingly enough, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, Stephanus has an addiction to serving the saints. And I thought that in the King James, I thought that was an interesting analogy. An addiction to serving the saints. God give us churches that are full of addicts for Jesus. To serve Jesus, the house of Stephanus. Among the first servants of the Lord in Achaia, which is a southern region of Rome, and they took their ministry to the saints seriously, and they were addicted to that service. Now, you may see some of those qualities in your life or the life of somebody else that you know, but let's look at some of the things that might characterize somebody with a spiritual gift as we together unwrap our spiritual gifts. Number one, A in your study guide, alert to seeing and meeting practical needs, anticipating needs, recognizing needs, and responds to needs. Paul commended young Timothy to the Philippians as one who was like-minded, who would naturally care for your state. And I've got underlined in my notes an ability to remember likes and dislikes, birthdays, anniversaries, special occasions, etc. The thing is, somebody with a spiritual gift of service is alert to meeting practical needs. Maybe that's a description of you. Maybe you've never quite thought about it that way. But aren't you glad God has blessed the family of God with people with a spiritual gift of service or hospitality or ministry? B, under your study guide, the person with a spiritual gift of service or ministry or hospitality receives joy in serving others when it frees them, the others, to do more important things. Like Martha, like Mary, they want you to succeed. They want you to succeed. And by the way, people who have the spiritual gift of service or ministry don't generally want people to recognize them publicly. They would rather do things privately and quietly and behind the scenes and let their gratitude be shared privately or quietly. They don't want anybody to make a big deal of it because they want the glory to go to God. You know anybody like that? C, a tendency to measure devotion by deeds. In other words, again, Mary and Martha are on that list. That is, a person with this spiritual gift has a tendency to measure somebody else's spiritual gift by the deeds that they do and by how they serve others and minister to others in a way that can be witnessed and seen. I thought D was interesting. A tendency to disregard personal health and comfort and tireless service to others. They don't quit in the middle of the ministry. They finish the job as best they can. They're the last ones to sit down. and the first and the last ones to leave after the meal is over, after the supper's over, after the ministry's over. They hang in there and they finish the task and they make sure that everybody else does their work before the job is complete. I like this one. They have difficulty saying no. Know anybody like that? They feel a need to be busy and have a compulsion to be involved. F, we've already mentioned this one. They do not desire public recognition or the spotlight. They just simply want to be a blessing to those who need them, whether it's cooking a meal for a family, whether it's caring somebody, driving somebody to the doctor or the hospital, whether it's, and you just fill in the blank, somebody with a spiritual gift of service or hospitality or ministry, doesn't want to be recognized publicly, but wants to serve the Lord faithfully. G, they thrive on appreciation, affirmation, and encouragement, privately rather than publicly. Not for ego, but they are doing it to genuinely meet needs in the lives of people. And H, has a strong drive to get her done. Don't leave the task undone. I thought this was interesting. A person with a spiritual gift of service or ministry or hospitality might be frustrated with red tape and the committee activity that gets bogged down in the procedures. Here's somebody with a spiritual gift of get her done, the ministry of service and the ministry of caring for other people and hospitality. And they really appreciate the church bylaws and the church rules and guidelines, but they really want more to get her done, don't want to get bogged down with seemingly endless little rules and regulations. And they have a strong desire not only to get her done, but a strong desire to be with others, not a loner. They'd rather serve somebody, get satisfaction of seeing that ministry fulfilled in the life of another person. We're talking about unwrapping your spiritual gift of service, hospitality, or ministry. They prefer short-range projects where they can see progress. They are frustrated by long-range projects unless they are broken up into smaller portions. Generally speaking, now what you may find is on some of these, when you recognize the spiritual gift of service or ministry or encouragement, which would be another thing we'll look at later on, it may be that you prefer a little short-range projects to long-range projects because you're able to focus on them and move through them and move on to something else. They're frustrated by long-range projects unless they're broken up. Number K, has a tendency to feel inadequate or unqualified. That is, a person with a spiritual gift of service, most of the time you can find in their lives a sense of humility and a sense of not wanting recognition, and they feel inadequate or unqualified often to do a job. But they don't realize that God is using that gift as much as any other spiritual gift. In fact, there are no spiritual gifts that are more valuable than others. They all are the gift of God. And the L, in your outline, they're more concerned about the needs of others than meeting their own needs. Well, let's pause there for just a moment. I know as we unwrap our spiritual gifts, some of you are thinking, that's not my gift. But you may be thinking, that person who's sitting next to you or behind you, in front of you, you can already see it. So that's what makes them work. So that's what makes them tick. That's what makes them function. Because the spiritual gift of hospitality or kindness or ministry is such a special thing. Be careful of the following. Difficulties of the gift of service. Somebody with a spiritual gift of service may have a tendency to neglect personal needs and not take care of themselves as well as they should because their focus is on someone else. Becoming overcommitted to a task or to a project or to a ministry. It's easy to dive right in and want to fix everything, but we can't always do that. Be careful of becoming overcommitted. C, fatigue is a difficulty, or what we call burnout. Sometimes you can give and you can give and you can give, and you forget to be reminded that you need to have your battery recharged, to have your life rekindled, need to have your walk refueled. We're talking about the spiritual gift of service. Don't let fatigue or burnout. In fact, I've known people through the years who gave and gave and gave, and they became weary and they just kind of dropped by the wayside for a little while. And the Lord doesn't want that to happen. We've already mentioned D, but we'll mention it again. One of the problems of the difficulties of the gift of service is not following appropriate procedures because they have a get-or-done mentality. We talked about that a moment ago. And I thought E was interesting. I think it's interesting that we would know there's a possibility of that happening. A person with a spiritual gift of service has to be careful about becoming hurt, getting hurt feelings, and are discouraged by preconceived ungratefulness of those who are being served. And this doesn't apply to everybody, but oftentimes it's the case, somebody who has a heart for giving, if they sense that there's not a sense of gratitude or there's not an appreciation for their ministry, get their feelings hurt and may drop by the wayside for a while and realize that their greatest source of fulfillment is in the relationship with the Lord Jesus, not on recognition or response from people. You'll notice in your conclusion, I repeated what I said at the beginning of the message. We need a bunch of people, the gift of service. I can go up and down these rows, up and down this aisle, up and down these rows, and I could probably point out 8 or 10 people, or maybe a dozen, that I have watched your life, and I have been amazed at how you have a heart of giving. And one of the blessed things is, in fact, Paul asked the question, which is more important, the ear or the mouth or the eyes? We all are part of the body. And there are no big eyes and little ears. We all are people who are significant in the body of Christ. And God wants to use you and your spiritual gifts to bless those around you. And you are somebody. You're somebody special. You're somebody gifted. You're somebody your church needs desperately to be faithful in your task and finish your job. To keep at the job until the Lord calls us home. Now somebody may say, you know, Brother Jackie, some of these things I'm aware of, but maybe you may not have thought about them much. But the truth is this, we need to understand that everybody has a role in the church. There are no insignificant members of the body of Christ. We are a part, an integral part of what God wants to do here. So my message to you would be faithful. Make 2025 a year of faithfulness. If you haven't got a place to serve, seek a place to serve. We'll find you a place to serve. We'll find you a way to serve. And one of the things that somebody with the gift of ministry needs is a role of feeling needed in the life of the church. And if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never been saved, the most important thing you will ever do is repent of sin and by faith trust Christ. And maybe you've been saved and have dropped by the wayside, or somehow you've become kind of cool in your walk with the Lord. One of the greatest days in my life was when I rededicated my life to the Lord as a young teenage man, about 19 years old. And I recommitted my life to Christ. And you don't get saved again, you just get recharged again and refocused and renewed. And may the Lord find us at the beginning of this year recommitted to being faithfully servants of the Lord and unwrapping our spiritual gifts. Let's pray together.